You should have a few pages by now. I just want to tell you before I begin that if you want to have further research on the topic, what I photocopied for you, it doesn't have the Maror HaMikomos. The Maror HaMikomos, or the Pshat, in numbers 1, 2, and 6, you can find in Avi Nir's Sefer Tal Karmon, in his first Ma'amar in Parshas Bereishis. Number 3, Pshat, is found in a book by Rabbi Kefet called The Rav. Number 7 and numbers 4, 8, and 9, you'll see is obvious. Number 7 through 10 is in Sifsei Chaim, Moadim, Chelek Aleph. 11 through 14, a Sefer by Rav Avraham Remer on Sefer Yehoshua, Ma'avar Haaretz. 15 is going to be the Siddur of Olat Ha'Riya from Ratzok. Number 9 is Maharan. That's for your further research. Alright, what I'd like to do is just go through a number of questions at first, and then afterwards we'll see, we'll have a little bit of a discussion in Sefer Yehoshua, and then afterwards come back to explain the questions. What we're primarily going to talk about tonight is a major yesod in life, in Judaism, and it really affects us in a lot of different areas. Everyday life, tefillah, it's a cornerstone also for religious Zionism. And so let us go. We're going to start with a number of questions. Number 1 on the page. The Masechet Kavod. Ba'asara ma'amarot nivra ha'olam. Ma'atam lomar. Ba'alopa ma'amar echadjah holy Hebrewot. So obviously Kadosh Baruch Hu could have just said, let there be a world. And it would have been a world that's complete. Why is it that a Kadosh Baruch Hu builds in 10 ma'amarot? So the answer of the Mishnah is very cryptic. Elihi Param and Rishayim Shemab Dimita Olam Shabara Basara Mamarot Litain Sartova Tzadikim Shemakayimim Salam Shinivra Basara Mamarot. So the answer doesn't fit the question. The question, why is it that God decides instead of in one Ma'amar to create in 10? And the answer is to give Sart to the Tzadikim. It's not understandable, the Chor of the Mishnah. So we'll have to understand that. That's question number 1. Question number 2. It's Machlokis and Chagiga Tanur Rabbanan. You see in the Bria that Shemayim came first and then afterwards the Aretz. That Lechor seems to be the main focus. And that's Beit Shammai who's saying that that's his idea. That first Shemayim Nivru and then afterwards the Aretz. However, Beis Hillel says the opposite. The Beit Hillel Omrim, Eretz Nivrei Tchila, Ba'achakach Shemayim, Shenemar Ba'yom Asot Hashem Elokim, Eretz V'Shemayim. So in the Pasuk it switched around the order of things, and therefore Beit Hillel has a different conclusion. So what do they like to say in the yeshivas? Whenever you get to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in the yeshivas, what do we always say? It's always so much fun. What's in the koach? What's the maisa? They always have these kakiras. We always like to say that Beit Shammai is always shamayim. It's always looking towards the heavens, towards a world, not necessarily for the now, but for the future, a perfected world. That's usually what we say about Beit Shammai, and his focus therefore is more on shamayim. And they say that Beit Hillel is always going to be what's actual now, what's happening in front of us, even if it's imperfect, but we start at what we have and we continue onwards. And therefore he's looking at the Aretz, and eventually we'll build towards something that's more shamayimi. That's what they like to say in the yeshivas whenever we see Beit Shammai, but still obviously it's not going to be able to help us in this Gemara. Why is it not going to help us in this Gemara? Because these are psukim that we're talking about. They have two different psukim. Why is there a steer in the psukim? One pasuk says, "Bereishis Bara Elokim et Hashamayim ve'et Ha'aretz," and afterwards it's flipped around. Asot Hashem Elokim Eretz Hashamayim. So the psukim, we have to understand the psukim really. Why is it that there's a difference? And why did the Torah? Why is the Torah makbid to change around the order of things? That's question number 2. Question number 3 on the top left is a medrash, famous medrash. We're going to pick it up on the third line of this medrash. Amar Rav Pinchas. Tamei de Rav Abahu, Amar Rav Pinchas, what? Tamei de Rav Abahu, Vayar Elokim Eskol Asher Asav, Hinei Tov Ma'od, Dan Hanyan Li, God said, this world is, I like it, Hanyan Li, Yatun, previous worlds, you know, I skipped the top, look at number 3, start from the beginning of the Medrash, Amar Rav Abahu, Malami Shaya Borei Olamotu Machrivan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would create worlds and destroy them, Atchu Borei Ata Elu, until he created our world, Amar Dan Hanyan Li, Yatun Lo Hanyan Li, that this one is a hana, and as I enjoy it, I want it, and the other ones was not good for me. Remember, Pinchas learns it off of a pasuk of Vayar Elokim Eskol Asher Asav, Hinei Tov Ma'od. The Tov Ma'od meant that God looked around and he said, oh, this one's good. So, what's the significance of this medrash? The idea that God creates world and destroys world. And for some reason, it doesn't necessarily say even that our world is any better, but he just said this world is, this one I like, previous one not. Question three. Let's do question number four on the page. We're going back a number of months ago. Okay, Pasuk Yitzayim. Hashem Amar, it's very rare that we have an opportunity to hear Kosh Baruch Hu speak to himself. Hashem Amar, he lets us in on this occasion. He says, Amechaseni mi Avram Hashem Yoseh, shall I hide from Avram that which I'm about to do in Sodom? Says Rashi, and you're probably familiar. Why did God want to let Avram in on what's going to happen? Rashi says, Amechaseni, b'tmiyah, I gave him this land, and it belongs to him. I'm going to go and destroy it, so it's not really appropriate that I shouldn't tell him what I'm about to do before I go into it. So, here you can sort of, if you want, you can ding zach with the questions, because it's not that strong, but I think anyway we'll have an insight. What is it that, first of all, it's not really a question. You could say that Avram doesn't have the land yet, right? How do we know? By Kanani, Hasbaretz, right? Kanani's still there. It's not yet Avraham's. And that was, where do we know that from? That's the whole machlokas between, I have to go back to Rashi, Lot's, shepherds of Lot and shepherds of Avram, right? Shepherds of Lot said that you don't own it yet, and Avram, that shepherds of Lot said that we own the land, and that we're going to get it, and Avram has no inheritance, and Lot's going to inherit the land from Avram, and therefore it belongs to us, we could go ahead and graze our cows anywhere. And obviously Avram's Rohim said that it doesn't belong to Avram yet. So that's obviously, you could say, it's not really a question, obviously, because Kadosh Baruch was planning for the future, and as he promised Avram the land the way it was, he's not going to go and destroy it without telling Avram. The thing is that, b'chol ofen, maybe we could find an added insight. Why is it that Kadosh Baruch wants to let Avram in on what's about to happen? Because if you keep reading the Pesukim, in addition to what Rashi says, from the Pesukim themselves, Kadosh Baruch tells us why he wants to tell Avram. Pasuk Yuchet and Pasuk Yitet. Says, I want to tell Avram because he's going to inform his kids. So I have to understand really what was Hashem saying. Why did he feel it was necessary to tell Avram about that he's going to destroy Sodom? Question number five. That is going to be actually number six on the page, Medrash Tanchuma, a famous Maaseh Shehaya, Maaseh Sheshal Tonus Rufus Arashat Rabbi Akiva, is a Maaseh Noim, Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, or Shal Basav Adam? Who does a better job? Amalo, so, Shal Basav Adam, Noim. Rabbi Akiva obviously says that we do a better job than a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Amalo Tonus Rufus, Hariyash Shemayim Barat Yechol Adam, Nasol Kayotze Behem. So I'm a low Rabbi Akiva, a low Tamar Libi Tavashul Malam and Abriyot, Shain Sholtim Alav. That's not fair, obviously. We're talking about in this world. I'm a low, so, you know, Lama Atem Mulin. Why do you do Mila? And you can understand, like the Machlokas with Tonus Rufus, this Russia from this Roman. So I argued Rabbi Akiva and gets right down to things haven't changed much in the last number of thousands of years, number of millennia. But there, you know, why you do Mila? It's such a barbaric act to take a little kid, defenseless little baby at 8 days, and you go ahead and shech them. What are you doing? Lama temulin. Amalo, ani ayiti yadei ashadov azeh atasho alani. I knew that you were getting to that from the very beginning, so therefore, kachik damti, I already told you. Amarti lecha shemasa b'nei adam, na'im shal kodesh baruch hu. Hevi lo Rabbi Akiva shibolim uglusko'ot. You had kernels of wheat, and cakes. So he says, Rabbi Kiva says, "Elu masay Kodesh Baruch Hu, elu masay Yedo Adam." Amalo, ein elu noyim yeterim en hashibolim. So Amalo turns Rufus imu chafetz b'mila. You might be right. If God wants b'mila so badly, lama einu yotzei avlad mehul mimei imo. Amalo Rabbi Akiva, lama shararo yotzei imo. Why is the placenta and the umbilical cord come out? Who talui b'vidno imo chotcha? Mashatem omei, lama einu yotzei mehul. If yishalon atan Kodesh Baruch Hu the mitzvos liyisrael, itzroch otan b'hem. So, what's the discussion, obviously, between Rabbi Akiva and Tonus Rufus? What was the philosophical argument that they were having? And that's really, that's our five questions. We're going to just, we're going to add on one more question that's going to be coming up in a week from now. And that's number seven on the bottom of the page. And one more question, and then we'll start to explain what's going on. In Shmos, you know, unfortunately, in 2 weeks from now, in Kitisa, It's like every year you come to it and it's always like so bothersome. You know, sometimes you get to these parshas in the Torah, they're just like, they're so hard to read. You know, whenever Yosef gets sent from his father, he's about to go check out where his brothers are. You know, every year, every single year when he's about to go out to see where his brothers are, you get that little like tightness in your stomach. You know, don't go out there, you're going to get sold. It's like, or it's so sad every single year when Moshe Rabbeinu takes the staff in the end of Sefer Devarim, and he's about to hit the rock. So Bamidbar, he's about to hit the rock. You know, every year, don't you get saddened when that happens? After all those years in the Midbar, Moshe Rabbeinu can't go into Eretz Yisrael. Every year after in Parshas Ki Tisa, when the Jewish people do the Chei De'ega, it's just it's so sad. Like, why the mistake? You can't change it. It happens every year. So after the Chei De'ega, number 7 on the page, Moshe goes to the rescue of Yom Yisrael. He's arguing with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And he finally says, let's see, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vata na matzati chen beinecha Hashem. I want to find chen in your eyes. How do you find chen in God's eyes? What does that mean to find favor in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's eyes? How do you find chen in God's eyes? So Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, okay, they have a conversation. Moshe's first battling, not only did get Am Yisrael first sensation from death, then he says, I don't want the Malach, I want you, Hashem. Finally, Kodesh Baruch Hu says the following, Yitzayin. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, gam et hadavar hazeh asher dibarti aseh, ki matzata chein be'inai, ve'idecha b'shem. My Hashem says, you found chein in my eyes, and therefore, yitet, vayomer ani adver kol tuvi aponecha, v'krati b'shem Hashem lefunecha, v'chanoti et asher achon, v'yuchamti et asher achem. Rashi in Yutet tells us what's going on in the story. On the side over here, Rashi, it's underlined Yutet. Vayomer ani avir, higia sha'a shetir'eh b'chvodi ma'asheh ershe'a otcha l'ra'ot. V'shin yotzeh, v'tzorich l'amed chaseh tefila. V'shin tzirach l'vakesh rachim al Yisrael, iskarta li tzchut avot. V'sivor ata sh'im tamah tzchut avot. Ein od tikva, ani aver kol midat tuvi lefanecha al atzur vata tzfon b'ma'arav akarati b'shem Hashem lefanecha lameich haseda b'akashat rachmim avim tichales chut avot kaseda shatara otim utaf kolei yukimu midot avim lamed et Yisrael asot kein. So that's what we do till today, the yukimu midos that we do on especially around Rosh Hashanah time and every fast. So the question is really like, how's the yukimu midos? If you notice, we don't say Hashem Tiyarakum, Hashem Tiyachanun, Hashem. What are we like listing off a Kodesh Baruch? We just go through those Yukimos, we're lifting them off. Achum, Achanun, Erechapayim. How does that work exactly? What is the significance of the Yukimos? Which Kodesh Baruch says in the future, that's going to save your gut. Because when Schusavos, first of all, is never time, but Schusavos does run out. When Schusavos runs out, the only thing the Jewish people have left is to stand up and to say the Yukimomidos. And that's how Kodesh Baruch is teaching Moshe Rabbeinu this right now. This is when Hashem tells him, this is the Yud Gimel Midos that you should use, and this is how you find them. So chen beinai, that's how you find favor in God's eyes. So what does that mean exactly, that we find favor in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes by saying over the Yud Gimel Midos? Okay, so we have a number of questions. Again, what we want to figure out exactly is, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates in 10 Ma'amarot, and if it's just to give Shechar to Tzadikim, that's very understandable, what's the connection between the two? What's the Machlokes Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, is what was created first, Shemayim Ma'aretz, or Aretz V'Shamayim? Why does Hashem insist that he has to tell Abraham about what's going to happen in Sodom? Why does God create worlds and destroy worlds? What's the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Antoninus Rufus? And what exactly does it mean to find favor in God's eyes by the fact that we say over the Yud Gimel Midos? Alright, so in order to understand this, all we're going to do is a very simple limud in a parak in Yoshua, a parak that you're all so familiar with, and we're going to just learn up a word over there, and then everything will come so clear, we'll just march right through the questions and we'll see that it's all so simple. If you turn the dab, you would recognize, I'm sure you recognize this parak. Why you recognize this parak? Because on the day that you landed, on the day that you got off the that bus, everyone's always keeps quoting you this psukim about the Shemesh Megivon Dom. So let's learn this parak over here. If you remember, just to remind you exactly, what's the storyline? I will just jump a couple of psukim. I circled them, so it'll go quickly. So, parak yud, if you remember the Givon, remember Givon? Givonites? They come in and they fake out Yoshua and Am Yisrael, and they make a deal, they make a pact. So again, nothing's changed. Not much has changed. This time it's like 3.5 millennia. But till today, it's in the books. I think in the Palestinian Authority, in their books, if anybody has any dealings with a Jew, so it's capital punishment. Right? If you sell your house to a Jew, then that's it, you're killed. You can't, you know, they're in order to ensure that everybody stays in line, that you always continue to have a hatred or enemy with the Jewish people. So no one's allowed to break, no one's allowed to make a peace treaty. It hasn't changed at all in the last 3,500 years. So here, if you take a look in Pasuk Aleph, when Adoni Tzedek hears that Givon is Shlim, made a peace track with Yoshua, so then what happens? Jump to Pasuk Hey. Vayaspu vayalu chameshit malachei amorim melech shnai melech avon melech amur v'chulo kol ma'achaneim vayachanu al Givon vayilchamu aleihem aleha. They come to do battle. Pasuk Vav, Vayishchu Anshei Givon al Yoshua Machnel Gilgal Elimar. We have a peace treaty, we're going to be attacked, you have to come and help us. Pasuk Zayin, Vayal Yoshua Min Gilgal. So immediately in this battle, you'll notice that Yoshua, he doesn't ask the Kaddish Baruch this time what to do. It's not, what was the previous battles we had? We had obviously Yericho at the beginning and I. And now we're coming into this battle over here. Alright? Yoshua doesn't ask Kaddish Baruch for direction. Yoshua himself decides he has a peace treaty, he has a pact with them, he has to go and defend them. Yoshua just decides he's going to go. And then all of a sudden, Pasuchet, Vayomar Hashem al Yoshua, Al tira mihem, ki biyadchan etatim, lo yamod ish mihem b'fanecha. So Hashem just all of a sudden appears and says, don't worry, I'll be with you. Okay. Vayivo alayhem Yoshua pitom kol alayla. He has a military strategy. He sneaks up through the night. Alam min ha-Gilgal. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu does get involved in this battle, even though Yoshua decided he's going to do it on himself. Hashem does get involved. Vayakum, Vayakim, I can't read it, sorry. Vayakim, Maka, Gidola, Vigivon. Alright, who is it that does this? Vayakim. Who beats up on these five kings?
Yoshua.
Could be Yoshua, could be.
Gibeon.
Kadosh Baruch Hu, awesome. It's not clear. Alright, maybe. So reason for that. But you defame Derech Malam Beit Choron. You know where Beit Choron is? What highway is that?
443.
That's 443. That's the other that's the original entrance into Yerushalayim is 443. That's been since time immemorial. The entrance to Yerushalayim goes past us and goes up the highway at 443. So he's going in Malam Beit Choron, Vayakem Ad Azakah Va'ad Mikeda. Now they're running away. Looks like the Jewish people's winning. It looks like Yoshua's winning based on his own kochot. But as the enemy's running away up towards Beit Choron, remember the Midrashim on this, right? Where are these? These are the Avnei Al-Gabish. Where are these from? And Makas Borad. Remember that? Moshe walks out and he prays and the Barad stops immediately. It's the Barad that had not yet landed but was ready left Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathered them up and used them at this point in history. So what you have here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his turn to beat up on him. And now it's interesting. What happens next? Pasuk Yudbet. Oz yidaber Yoshua LaHashem b'yom teit Hashem et amori lefnei b'nei Yisrael v'yomer leinei Yisrael shemesh b'givon dom v'yireach b'emek ayalon. So, first of all, this is one of my understanding is that Shemesh b'Givon Dom, Yireach b'Emek Ayalon, that kind of a situation, the Shemesh and Yireach, if you know exactly where Givon and Emek Ayalon and Givon is, it would be at some time in the early hours of the morning. Early hours of the morning in the summertime. Therefore, the question obviously would be, why is it that Yoshua, it was the early hours of the day.
Yes.
Why does he have to stop the sun? Why does he have to do this miracle? He's got plenty of time left. As the day goes on, if he sees he's running out of time, he seems to be winning. Because Baruch's already chucking rocks. If he seems to be, you know, if he's running out of time, so let him stop the Shemesh. Why does he make this miracle? Why does he call for it? And the truth is, if you're going to call for a miracle, I think the way things are running, I would think of something else. What I would do is just say, to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, turn up the volume, throw down some more. And what exactly is the reason for the miracle? And another thing, if you take a look, what was it? Pasuk Yud Gimel. How would you have written that pasuk? Vayidom Hashemesh b'yireach amad, ad yikom goy evav. How would you have written that? What does that mean by Yidom HaShemesh? What would you have written? What verb would you have used? The Shemesh is stopping. What word would you have used? Huh? Would you have used by Yidom? No, you would have used something else. I don't know, by Yatzar. By Sekh. I don't know. What's by Yidom?
Silence.
Famous, what is the famous by Yidom in the Torah? By Yidom Aharon. Right? When Aharon hears about the death of his sons, he's quiet. By Yidom Aharon. By Yidom HaShemesh. The Shemesh is quiet. And as it continues, that pasuk, Aloi Ktuva, Sefer Yashar. So it's written in the Sefer Yashar. What's a Sefer Yashar? Where is that Sefer? Vayomor HaShemesh, V'chatzi HaShemayim, V'lo Atzla, V'lo Kiyom Betamim, V'lo Yekayom Mahu Lefanav, V'achrov Lishmoa, Hashem B'kol Ish, Ki Hashem Nulcham Yisrael. And the story continues on. What's interesting, it says, right, in Pasuk Tetzav, V'yashav Yoshua, V'chol Yisrael, Yimol HaMachne, Al Gilgal, they went back to their camp. But in Pasuk Tetzayin, they continue with the story of the battle. So obviously what the question is about Pasuk Tetvav. What's your question? Why is it there? Because they haven't finished the battle yet. That should come much later. Some of the questions. Let's go back to Vayidom. Vayidom HaShemesh sounds very odd. Vayidom HaShemesh means it stopped. It was silent. Silent from what? And before we looked at the answer, look at Pasuk Yibet. Az Yidaber Yoshua Lashem. What does that remind you of? Az Yidaber.
Az Yashir.
Az Yashir. Last week. So you have a lot going on. Az Yashir Yoshua. So Yoshua, he's singing, and the Shemesh is quiet. Vayidom. It's silent. So Chazal, we read these psukim. It's not just nowadays that, you know, people do, like they read the Yukim. Chazal right away picked up on these things, and that's what forces the midrashim to make their midrashim, to make the diukim on the psukim. Plus, number 12 on your page says the Tanchuma, Omar lo Hashemesh, v'chiyatogu zir Elisha Edom. You're telling me that I should be silent? Yoshua says, Hen, yeah, Omar lo, v'kevan shani shall take mi yomar kilu so shall kodesh baruch hu. If I'm silent, so who's going to say the praise of God? So a wonderful medrash. So the question obviously that we have is, what exactly is the shira that the Shemesh is saying on a daily basis? And how is it that Yoshua is going to be saying shira? How will he be able to switch the Shemesh in that tafkid? And how is it that Yoshua himself, how does he do it? Where do you see that he says Shira? How does he take the role of the Shemesh take up this role? So yeah, I mentioned a number of people of different makoros and pshatim. Rav Avram Remer was a rav. Unfortunately, he died very young. He taught, I think, in either Mirkaz or Yashlatz. He has a number of svarim. If you're looking for, just like if any of you are familiar with Tal Chermon, well, you should be. Rav Avinir Sefer on Chumash, where he sort of opens up the world to Torah Sarav. If you find reading Rav Cook is difficult, which most, not only Americans, even Israelis will find it difficult, certain writings. But Rav Avinir, if you're looking for something really good in the Chumash, Tal Chermon, in which he looks at the Parshiot in the Chumash from an angle of Torah Sarav Cook. And it's not just, it's wonderful Sefer. It's not just Vortluch, but it's like pages, six, seven, eight pages. Nice, sophisticated discussions on the Parsha. So what Rav Avinir does in the Chumash, Rav Remer does in Sefer Yoshua, they have in Sefer Shoftim, and also I think they just printed posthumously on Shmuel. And he tries, he looks at things more in the derech of Torsara, Amiso, which makes sense, you know, Sefer Yoshua, it's about Amiso coming to Eretz Yisrael. It's like, you sort of lose something from the meaning of the Sefer if you don't have a proper look on it. So Rav Avram Remer, he writes in the Sefer Son, such an insight into this Parsha. Makes a lot of sense. The question is how you define Shira. You know that the Torah has a lot of different words for Shira. Tefillah, Shira, Tzmira, all kinds of different words on it. What's Shira exactly? So let's borrow from numbers 13 and 14 from Rav Cook. Give a definition of Shira, and they'll understand this Parsha. Shira, first of all, what's Shira? He haba'a sechlit el yona. Very simple. Haba'a sechlit el yona. The loftiest level, the highest intellectual level of an appreciation of a Kodesh Baruch, of expression of oneself. We express ourselves in prose, but believe it or not, the Shira is a higher, that doesn't mean a sing-song necessarily, but it does mean some kind of elegant prose, you know. That is where, when wanting to express oneself, when they've achieved the highest level of an understanding, when they want to express themselves from the very depths of their soul, it comes out in Shira. And at times it's as far as an expression in words, and at times, number 14, and at times it's not just what is said, Omram, but it's the greatest matters, are actually expressed through the actions. We say it in English that actions speak louder than words. When you're talking about Shira, at times actions themselves is a Shira. The sun says a Shira every day. The sun's not necessarily, you know, we haven't heard its song, but it says a song, it expresses a Shira. When the sun listens to a Kaddish Baruch Hu and does exactly what it's supposed to do, every single day, day in, day out, listening to a Kaddish Baruch Hu as it goes across the expanse of the heavens, that's an ultimate Shira. Where nature does God's bidding, where nature, so to speak, even more than just doing God's bidding, but expresses a Kaddish Baruch Hu's involvement in this world. That's a Shira. Am Yisrael, here Yeshua says, we're going to say Shira. You could stop for a second. We, Am Yisrael, are going to say Shira. How are we supposed to be saying Shira? Where do we say Shira in this parsha? Very simple, you look back at the Sefer Yeshua, and see we've been building towards the Shira, and we finally achieve it right here. Why? Let's just go back a little bit. You take a look at the battles in Yeshua. You see there's always a balance between the action of Am Yisrael and how much a Kaddish Baruch was involved. Let's go back to Yericho. Where's the balance of Nes and Teva? Nes Hashem and Teva of Am Yisrael. Think about Yericho. Who do you think is, where's the majority? I know Am Yisrael is walking around 7 times, 7 days. But who really, the Battle of Yericho? It's Nes, right? At some point there's a really fortified city, and it just crumbles down, just goes, it sinks into the ground. Because Baruch was taking the lead for sure. Let's go back to Ai. Who's taking the lead in the Ai? Am Yisrael or Kaddish Baruch Hu? One should make sure. Everyone knows their Tanakh. I'll say for Yoshi, we're doing lately. You realize if you do 2 prakim of Tanakh a night, you'll finish up the entire Tanakh in a year. Right before you go to bed, leave it on your bedstand. Right? Yeah, what's God's involvement? In the Battle of Ai, what's the Sacha called God's involvement? He gives advice, right? Hashem says, I'll give you advice, do the ambush. And then also Yoshua holds up the spear, and that's about it, really. Who's doing the battle from the very beginning and also the second round? It's all the army, it's all the Am Yisrael. But here it's more so us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involved, not as much. When we get to the battle over here with the 5 kings, Shemesh B'Givon Dom, take a look, you know, we went through this story, think about what's happening. Yeshua is the one who decides that he has to go to do battle because he has a bris with these people, the Givon. So he just makes that decision on his own. But the second he leaves for the battle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears and says, don't worry, I'll be there with you. We're going at this one hand in hand. We're going harmoniously, locked together, into battle. Yeshua starts to do battle. It's not clear by Yakum. It's not clear who really does the beating up on them. But Yeshua does. He's the one who's winning the war. And after they're running away from Yeshua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to finish off the job by dropping down the Avnei Al-Gavish. And it goes through it. That's the battle. At this point, Am Yisrael has come into Eretz Yisrael. We've left the Midbar. We've come into Eretz Yisrael. We're here in order to establish a land, to establish a nation, a Medina, that's going to be running based upon Torah. That we're going to take a Kaddish Baruch Hu's desire. You know, most of the Torah is what? It's Avodah Hashem. Most of the Torah is directed, mitzvot that we do as a mitzvot pratiyot. But most of the Torah is mitzvot that's directed towards Am Yisrael. Whether it be in the Mishkan or the whole Sefer Bamidbar, in which we talk about the Machaneh and the Am and the Tzava. And we're told that as acting as a nation in our land, this is how we're supposed to lead our lives. What we do when Am Yisrael acts to the fullest, when we do exactly as the Kaddish Baruch Hu wants us of, just like the sun that starts off every single morning in the east and sets in the west, when Am Yisrael comes in and maxes out on what they're supposed to be doing, that's the ultimate Shira that can be stated in this world. It's an expression of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, not only of listening to Kaddish Baruch Hu, but it's an expression of a Kaddish Baruch Hu who's being found in this world. And in this case, through Am Yisrael, because that's what our job is. When we go to do battle, in this battle over here, we actually finally make it. We go hand in hand with the Kaddish Baruch Hu to battle, every step of the way. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's with us, and therefore, Yoshua comes and he says, "Oz Yashir, it's a Shira." Yoshua is saying a Shira. And he says to the Shemesh, "You should be Vayidom." And he calls, when he says Shemesh B'Gibbon Dom, you obviously understand, but Yireich B'Emek Ayalon, it's not because he needs that as a military strategy. He's winning the war anyway, the war is over. But because he wants the sun to stop, because he wants to make a statement of Am Yisrael, and the strength of Am Yisrael, and what we've achieved at this point in the history of Am Yisrael, and hopefully this will be established, and this is how Am Yisrael will continue. We have points in our history when we did continue in this fashion, of being one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Am Yisrael being on a heightened level of spirituality, yet still being involved with the material, being involved with the world at large, with our nation. So we had that. But this is the point where we first achieve it, when entering into Am Yisrael. Yoshua at that point, it's true, Vayashav Yoshua v'chol Yisrael imo ha-machane el Gilgali. He might have wanted at that point to be able to go back and settle in the camp, because they've already, that's what the Am Yisrael is about. They throw that in at that point. Maybe that's what they wanted to do because of what we have achieved. The battle continues on, the description continues after that. Yeshua writes this up. What is it saying? It's written in Sefer Yashar. What's the Sefer Yashar? What is the Sefer Yashar? We don't have a Sefer Yashar. We do have a Sefer Yashar in Nitziv's description of Bereishis. What's Sefer Yashar? It's not written there though. Maybe we don't have it. Sefer Yashar is from a Lashon that Yashar is, that's what Am Yisrael is about. Yisrael Yashar Kel. Or flip around the word Shirkel. When we're Yashar with Hashem, when we're straight with God, we do exactly what we're supposed to be doing. It's the greatest Shir that we have of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of representing God in this world. That's the ultimate, by actions, the ultimate Shir that we could do for Hashem, or to Hashem. No, it's so clear really. That's the Shir. So where did Yoshua, in other words, the point being is that Am Yisrael, when they walk hand in hand with God, in a certain sense, when we decide, when we are shutaf, when we're a partner with Hashem in running this world, in our case, it's our little vinkula in Eretz Yisrael. Through us in Eretz Yisrael, the rest of the world will learn as well. But when we stand up there, we go in partnership with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When we do that, that's the ultimate shira. What did Yoshua learn that that is what Am Yisrael is supposed to do? That we're supposed to be a shutaf, we're supposed to work harmoniously with Am Yisrael, with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Where do you get that from? He got that obviously from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu stands in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe says, "God, I want to find chen in your eyes. I want to find favor in your eyes." Hashem says, "No, how are you going to find favor in my eyes? Chanosi es asher achon. No, how are you going to do that? Say the Yud Gimel Midos." So what's the Yud Gimel Midos about? We don't say Hashem, Hashem, Tiyer Rachom. We just stayed off Midos. What are the Midos? Midos are the way that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs this world. Midos is what Hashem, you know, Hashem, how he, at different ways that he deals with us, deals with the world at large. So when we say those Yud Gimel Midos, what Hashem was saying to Moshe, "Moshe, you know you're going to find favor in my eyes? I want you, Moshe, to tell me how to run the world. I'm going to give you that opportunity in the future when there's going to be situations that, you know, you have to work it out. I want you to run the world. You tell me how I should function." And it's interesting, we have Yud Gimel Midos over here. If you take a look at, after the Chetam Aradlin, Moshe again repeats the Midos. He doesn't repeat all 13. He has specific midos that he's repeating. You took the Ramban over there, and you'll see that it's specific to the situation. Because Moshe learned the lesson. How do you find favor in God's eyes? So to speak, tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu how he should function in this world. If you're familiar with the Nefesh HaChayim in Tefillah, that's where Nefesh HaChayim talks about that as well. What's the concept of a bracha? When we say Hashem, who's the source of blessing, I'm telling you, God, where I'm helping, where it should be coming to this world, where your constant, the constant influences, the constant benevolence that comes out of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, where should be placed in this world? So you say in your mind, God, this person's sick, so we need help over here. Hashem, please. Now, why is it set up like that? Because Kadosh Baruch Hu sets it up, because he wants our involvement. Possibly it has to do with the fact that Hashem wants us to emulate, you know, basic Derech Hashem. God wants us to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu to such an extent. In other words, in order for us to perfect ourselves, for us to be able to get Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, the purpose of creation, for us to get God. So in order for us, therefore we want to perfect ourselves, we want to emulate Hashem so that we have an affinity with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'd may have asked him Shannon afterwards. So possibly has something to do with that. You know, so Hashem says, you run the world with me. I expect you to run the world with me. I expect you to take responsibility upon the world at large and be a shutaf with me and how things are going to function in this world. Where did Moshe learn this from? Moshe learned it from Avram Avinu. Why? From the story of Avram. Because Avram's over there, and Avram's like looking at Sodom, yeah, and Hashem says, "Shai hai from Avram, what's about to happen in Sodom?" And why? So Rashi says, in addition to Rashi saying, what does Hashem want over here? Hashem says, you know, should I tell Avram? What's going to happen as soon as Hashem tells Avram that he's going to destroy Sodom? So Avram's going to stand up and say, how can you do something like that? That's terrible. How can you destroy people? This tzaddikim. And he goes on through a whole speech, a famous speech, one of the most eloquent speeches in the Torah. When Avram gets up and he's, you know, he's battling with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and each time he gets up, he knows he's being a little bit chutzpahdik, but he says, how can you dare do something like this? That's the first, that's a Jew, that's Avram, the first Jew. I mean, he tells, we deal with the Kaddish Baruch Hu in a certain, you know, very close fashion. So, but Hashem knows there's not 50 tzaddikim, or 45, or even 5, or 10. Hashem knows there's no tzaddikim. Hashem knows Sodom's going to be destroyed. So why is it that a Kaddish Baruch Hu bothers to tell Avram? Because Hashem wants Avram to stand up. It doesn't make a difference what's going to happen at the end. It doesn't make a difference that Sodom's not going to be saved. But Hashem expects it. He wants Avram to stand up and to say, God, you know, this is not the way you should be doing things. We have to think about it. Maybe there's a tzaddik. He wants it to be like that. Why? Because that's Avram's job as the tzaddik. That's what Avram's supposed to do. He's supposed to emulate a Kaddish Baruch Hu and decide how this world should be run. And that's why Hashem says, the reason I'm going to tell him is because Yidatit l'man Hashem Yitzaved Banabet Bito Acharav V'shamu Derech Hashem Asot Tzedakah U'Mishpat. This is not the pasuk of Avram of Torah Tish, Asher Shamatim Torah Tiyu Mishmati. And there's a whole, you know, whole thing that Rashi says, it's you know, even Shneos the Rabban, Shneos the Arise. This is talking about straight up Tzedakah U'Mishpat, how to run the world. Avram is going to tell his kids how to run the world. They have to be responsible for how the world looks and be a shutuf with HaKadosh Baruch Hu running this world. That's why Hashem wants to tell Avram, you know, because that's what he expects of the tzaddik in every generation, as he expects of Am Yisrael in every generation. And this is basics. That's why Rav Avinir talks about the following in Masechet Avot. If you take a look at Masechet Avot, why does God create the world in 10 Mamarot? He could have created it in one. So why does he do it? Because after God created, said the first Mamar, so there was another 9 missing. And after he said the second, there's another, after he said the fifth, a whole bunch missing. The world's created in stages because after each stage you have an imperfect, incomplete world. And when God finished his 10th Mamar, the world also was lacking. It's not a complete world. It's an imperfect world. And it's up to us to be able to be metaking all along. It's up to us to work with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, to be a shutuf with Hashem, to create a better world. That's what it's all about. And if you accept that challenge, if you understand that point, and you accept that challenge, so then you get schar. That's what the Midrash, that's what the Mishnah answers. Why was the world created in different mamarot? To let us in on the fact that the world's imperfect, even after the 10th, and therefore to give schar to the tzaddikim, shemakayim esa'olim, shenivar basara mamarot. Because we step up to the plate and we become a shuta for the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel have an argument. What was created first? They're both right. They're both right. Depends from where you're looking at it. Because if you're medayik in the psukim, the first pasuk says, "Bereishis." There's different worlds. There's an olam habriya, right? There's a world that's an olam of the briya that's more spiritually. And chanami abiya, right? Atzilus and briya and yitzira and asiya. There is an olam which is more spiritual. So Beit Shammai, it's true, he does look at the spiritual world. But in a spiritual world, in chanami bereishis bara b'madai briya elokim et hashamayim v'et haaretz. There, the shamayim comes first. But Beit Hillel says, no, our job is in the olam asiya. We're here in this world. In the world that we know, this Olam Asiyah, it's up to us to make a better place. It's up to us to deal with the world and look at the world, the Aretz first, and work on it and build it to a Shamayim. And that's why it says in the Medayik in the Pasuk, Bayom Asot Hashem Elokim, Asiyah, the Olam Asiyah, Elokim, Eretz v'Shamayim. That's obviously the machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Tonus Rufus. That's obvious. That one's obvious. Right? Tonus Rufus is saying, you know, God created the world and he left it. He doesn't deny that God exists. He says God created the world and he left it for us to do with it as we please. And then it sounds a little bit like Mitzrayim. Another round on Mitzrayim. First we have to teach him that God exists, then we have to say that he exists in this world. L'man tidat Hashem, l'man tidat Hashem, that he's ba'aretz, l'man tidat Hashem she'ein kamoni, that there's nobody like, all powerful. Right? So Rabbi Akiva says, first of all, okay, that's not an argument, that God exists, but Hashem, he left an imperfect world. He told us to go make cakes, make a perfect world. And not ad kedei kach, that even as much as we can within creation, you know, the creation of man, the form of man, creation of man, we're shooting for the Kaddish Baruch Hu, there's three partners. But even within the very form of what's a completed man comes out of the womb, incomplete. It's one of the Ma'amarim, it's incomplete. And then we have to come and do Mila. It's such a lesson, and that's a Jewish lesson. So he says, well, if God likes Mila so much, so Rebbe, why didn't he come out in Mahol? So Rebbe Kiva says, you missed the point. Kaddish Baruch Hu wants us, he gave us mitzvahs, let's serofo tambahem. He gave us mitzvahs, what are the mitzvahs about? Most of the mitzvahs are here to tell us how in every single situation, how we could do it right, how we should do it in a fashion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with. How in our actions we should be singing Shira. How we should be a shutuf with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And that's why it's wonderful. We didn't do this one yet. But number 9, this is this week's parsha, or last this week's parsha. Oh, you could use it. Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, B'shash Ala Moshe Lamaram, Matzol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheyakoshik Torah La'otio. So God's tying the little tagim on the top of the otiot in the Torah. Amar lo Moshe, ain Amar lo. So Hashem says, Moshe, ain shalom b'irecha. Why don't you say hello when you come up to Shemayim? So Amar lefanav, Moshe says, Klum yeshevet shenotein shalom l'rabo. So like an eved, I can't say hello. Amar le, hayalach, excuse me, lazreini. The Maral explains, what's the idea of ketarim? What's a keter? Keter is a crowning achievement, right? Keter is shlemus. The king has the crown. I mean, if you want to know that the Medina, that the nation's intact, is the king alive, is the crown, you know, still in safe. It's a crowning moment. That's what he's saying. God's putting a crown on the altar of the Torah. Torah is all perfect. The crowns are all perfect. Everything's perfect. Moshe comes up to Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't say shalom. So Moshe says, how can I, the Eved, give you shalom? What's God's name is what? Shalom. From what Lasha? Shlemus. Perfection. So he says, how can I give you shalom, God? What can I give to you? You're perfect, and I'm just human. I'm not. What does God say? It always, you know, it should resound in your ears. Amar Haya Lachalaz Reini. It doesn't make a difference. I expect of you to help me. Ah, it's beautiful. And what's interesting, this Lachora seems to be the Matan Torah, but look at the end of this Gemara. Miyad Amar Lo Vata Yigdal Noakoach Hashem Kasher Dibarta. What is that from? I tell you, Gdal no kach Hashem kasher dibarta. So if you look in 10, that's from after the Chedim Araglim. It would seem that that's why the Gemara throws that pasuk in, because that's exactly the lesson. Because in the Chedim Araglim, when Moshe starts doing the midos, and not your gimel, the midos that he specifically picks out, is when you see that Moshe learned the lesson. Hayelach alazreini, that's your top kid in life. That's the life of a Jew, that's what a Jew is about. And to the point of the idea, the lesson of the destroyed worlds. I have it's a quote. This is in English, but the Rav in his Yahrzeit Shir back in 1957, which is interesting if you think about in his in memory. Just to give Yahrzeit Shir in Yiddish, memory of his father, Rav Moshe, and it was translated to English. This is in a book by Rav Kefet. So telltale about the Medrash with the creating worlds and destroying worlds, but really, and if you think about it, this is going to be in 57, so you talk about only 12 years after the Holocaust. So here. So this Medrash conveys a very important concept to us. A person must know how to continue building and creating life, even if his previous efforts are demolished. He cannot lose hope and must not give up. He must go ahead and build again. Perhaps the new world created will not be as beautiful as the earlier one. Nevertheless, he must continue to rebuild. God was able to say about his final world, behold, it was very good. That is, that the final, permanent world is very good, even though some of the earlier ones may have been even been more beautiful. They are gone, and we must maximize what we have now. I'm going to read this, a very personal thing from the Rav. It's just beautiful. And I think that you have to put yourself in the picture. I don't know if you guys ever, you know, seen these films of the Rav or pictures of the Rav. Put yourself in the picture of the leader of the Jewish community in America in 1957. This is what he says. Today we must judge the Torah world we are reconstructing after the Holocaust as very good, even though earlier ones may have been more beautiful. I am very proud of the Maimonides Day School in Boston. Many times I test the students on the Chumash and Rashi that they are studying. I'm impressed by their knowledge and inspired by their achievements. Then I ask myself, why am I so excited by such small accomplishments? After all, I saw the giants of European Torah Jewry before the Holocaust. I discussed Talmudic topics with my grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik of Brisk. I visited with Rav Chaim Isaac Rudzinski in Vilna. I debated with Rav Shimon Shkub concerning the explanation of certain Talmudic passages. I spent entire nights with Rav Baruch Ber Leibovitz of Kamenetz, attempting to comprehend difficult rulings in the Code of Maimonides. Why am I so impressed that American youngsters can master a little Chumash with Rashi, the rudiments of Torah study? This is the message of the recreation of destroyed worlds. A Jew has to know how to emulate God, and like God, to continue to create even after his former world has been eradicated. True, what I have in Boston may not be as beautiful as the European Torah world before the Holocaust. Nevertheless, it is the world we now have. We have to continue to build it and not look back. We must not be cynical, and we should direct our attention and efforts to the future. We must look ahead. This is an insight by the Rav, and this is like, you know, real time. I'm just looking around and saying, but okay, we've got to get up and deal with what we have in front of us. Because that's what a Jew is about, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us. That's how we find chen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. That's why You have, you can look at it afterwards, in number 15 on the page, from Rav Kook, on the Gemara and Brachos, Amar Chiyah Barab, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ayis Pala Odom El Beit Shesh Psham Chalonot, Shnimar, Bechivein Tifkeim Liyad Lei, Ilete Neged Yerushalayim. It says from Daniel, that when Daniel davened, he davened in front of windows that head towards Yerushalayim. So we learn a halacha also, Mechavim towards Yerushalayim, because, you know, prayers go that way. When Shalim demonstrates everything, we learn you're supposed to daven in a room that has windows. Why? You're supposed to see, says in the Mishnah Berurah, supposed to see the heavens to give you a little humility. Says Rav Kook in such a soaring idea. He says because the reason is that if a Jew davens and he's got so caught up in his own avodas Hashem to the point that he doesn't realize that outside these windows, there's a whole world that needs his help. That there's a Jewish people who needs his help. If you don't realize that, then your davening's imperfect. That's not a good davening. Your davening has to be one that you stand up and you recognize that's your responsibility to talk to a Kaddish Baruch Hu and demand of Hashem, and help a Kaddish Baruch Hu to place bracha into this world. When the world was created, until man was, it's a straight up puzzle. That nothing came out, nothing grew until Adam was created and was able to say, God, we need some rain for things to come out and sprout forth from the ground. Things had been created but hadn't sprout forth from the ground. It's up to us. So our cook says that when you have in mind what a perfected world should be, that's what you should be dominating for, that's what Yerushalayim is supposed to symbolize for us. So this is a message, it's true, it's bread and butter Judaism. It makes a difference as far as life in Bichlal, and it's how you find your balance between what's called b'sheret and what's God, it's all b'sheret or what's upon me. I think that we have to view things as much, that we have so much as responsible, it's up to us. Not everything's just going to happen. God's waiting for us to act, and waiting for us to be one with the Kaddish Baruch. That's tefillah. Tefillah, especially Nefesh HaChaim, goes to town about this. That the concept of tefillah is that we talk to Kaddish Baruch and we assist in Hashem as to where to put bracha into this world. It's a responsibility. You can enter into tefillah at times with a feeling of like, Tata and Himmel, help me, because I'm dependent on you. But there's times you walk into tefillah and they're not exclusive. You walk into tefillah and you say, Kaddish Baruch, because we're dependent on you, Hashem, we need your help, and I'm going to tell you, Hashem, where it is that you should be doing it. Because that's my job. Because I emulate you, Hashem, and I find chen in your eyes. And that's true as far as the understanding of what Am Yisrael and Medina Yisrael is about. God, there's a lot of songs out there. You listen to them and say, oh, Hashem, please bring me back, Mashiach. And when Mashiach, it doesn't work like that. It's up to us. God helps us, gives us a tremendous amount of siyata d'shmaya. But where we stand today in this country, in Medina Yisrael, is based upon the sweat and the serious nefesh of Jews, with siyata d'shmaya, Kodesh Baruch, of course. Nothing would have happened. But we got to work. That's our challenge in life. And it's what we do and what we decide, that will make a difference. When I was your age in this yeshiva, the yeshiva then used to always tell us, I heard this from him numerous times, used to tell us a medrash that there's a medrash that says that after the Beis HaMikdash is built, that Mashiach is up on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash and he's crying out to everybody as they pass by, and they say, he's crying out, he says, I'm here, nobody's paying attention. She says, you're right, nobody's paying attention. A lot of people walk by, but the Rosh Hashiva then used to always say that somebody though had to give a shoulder, to give a boost to the Mashiach to get up on top of that roof. So that's our job. That's your job. That's each and every one of you. Be shuta for Hashem to do great things in this world and build a better place.